Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to another Rugby League Down South. This is probably a programme I should have done a while ago. What a season it's been for London clubs. A slightly new look and feel to how these podcasts are going to develop. I just thought that if I am lucky enough to record an interview with someone about the game in the South, I'll podcast each individual interview in its singularity. It'll save a little bit of time putting things together. It'll also mean you maybe get a slightly more content than what you've had over the last few months. And my apologies for that. My life is running away with me. And I haven't had time, and disappointed to say I haven't managed to get to a Broncos game or indeed any other club so far this year, something I am hoping to rectify in the next few weeks. But to start this new look, lucky enough to put a call into the London Broncos owner, David Hughes. The club finishing second in the championship table, into the Super 8s now, into the middle section, the qualifiers I think it is, could face the £1 million game if they finish fourth or fifth in this division of eight. Which way will it go? How will they do? And how has the season been for the owner? He does make a slight Freudian slip in the first couple of answers, referring to Andrew Henderson as Ian. We'll let him get away with that, but I've been having a chat with the Broncos boss, David Hughes. Hope you enjoy this, and there'll be more to come, I promise. David, you mentioned a bit of a wobble recently, but really looking back on it, it's been a good year, hasn't it?
Yeah, excellent year. I mean, we finished a genuine second in the championship, you know, qualifying with just below Lee. Safe about 3 weeks ago, irrespective of results, so we can't complain. We've been pretty consistent during the year, yeah.
It's been, as I'm going to say, a bit of a wait for a year like this. You've put the time and effort in. Have you enjoyed watching your team this year?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we were disappointed a bit last year, but this year, you know, we've got a really sound coach in Ian Henderson. Really, really top coach and very dedicated guy, and his work ethic and his ethic around the club in terms of policy and culture is quite outstanding, and I think all the players have bought into that. So we've got a very honest squad and a very close-knit team this year.
Do you know, it's ages since I spoke to Hendo. It was right at the beginning of the season, and he was saying, you know, I think we've got a squad here that's capable of doing something. You must have been happy with the squad that was recruited, and does that give you faith in the people that you're already signing up for next year?
It does. I work a lot closer now with Andrew. Of course, I'm the knowledge of the championship, where you tend to find a lot of players come from. It's very helpful if he's played up there for quite a time. So, and I tend to remember, being my age, I remember a lot of players as well. So we do combine to try and mutually agree who we sign, and very important, who will fit in.
Who've been your stars this year, David?
That's a good question. I think I wouldn't like to say there's a star this year, because each week there's a different man of the match, and I think in a way that's good, in that it is a team. It's a cliche team effort, but it is a team effort, and they do play well together, so it differs week to week actually.
And I almost fell off my chair when I saw that Jamie Soward was heading back to the club. How did all that come about?
Well, Jamie was being released by Penrith, and he had another year in his contract, and that was his own business what happened down there, but he said he wanted to come back over, and I got in touch with him, and we backwards and forwards, and he agreed to come to London again. He thoroughly enjoyed his time last time. He sees a challenge, and he's here with us now, and it potentially is here through next season as well. It depends how we do and, you know, how we go forward. But he's very loyal to London, and he won't make any other decision till the end of this season. And it's highly likely he'll stay with us.
Do you know, it's amazing, David. I mean, we've talked about it before, haven't we, about how people come to the club and they just feel something for it. And someone like Jamie, you know, who has no real desire or need in terms of his potential career, but sees London as where he wants to be. That must be an honour for someone like you.
It is, and, you know, I think when some of the kids, even from the north, come down, a lot of them do buy into it. People like Danny Orr, who's now at Cashion under Dow Powell, he loved it down here. There's quite a few northerners as well, not just the, if you like, guys from down under, who they do buy into it. It is different playing for a club like London. You can ask someone like Sean Edwards, who talks about it sometimes. It's very different playing in a team like London. It's very different than being say, at Bradford or Lee or Wigan. It's very different. And so it is unique. And if they buy into it, it's wonderful.
What's it been like at Ealing this year? I mentioned just before we started recording that unfortunately I've not been able to make it. I am still hoping. I know that the fixtures are running out. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what has it been like there?
I can only say it was a breath of fresh air. The owners there, you know, and Mike Gooley, who owns Trailfinders, have been tremendous, and they've offered us every opportunity to make it work. And we don't tread on the toes of the rugby union team. We have different training times. We can access the pitch because it's a 4G pitch. And we've built our own gymnasium there, so independent to the union club on that. But they've been more than welcoming, and I think it's a massive contribution. We've got everything there. We've got food there. We've got a gym there. We can get on the main pitch as and when we wish, almost, to train on that, which you couldn't do at many of the other facilities we played at. So by far the best facility, by far the best combination with the owners and with Trailfinders I've ever found, really, and it makes a massive difference.
Really, would you say that? I mean, I know some people might say the facilities in terms of the size might not compare to where you've been before, but do you think this is the best deal that you've had?
Yeah, it's not just financially. I would say just in terms of being made welcome, yes. When you've got two other interests, another interest rather, another club, you tend to be fighting for space, accommodation, office accommodation. The office accommodation we have here, the access to the pitch, we've built our own, a really big gym, the Super League type gym. It makes a massive difference. And yes, in terms of facilities, we will expand to Super League standards if and when we got there. And there's plenty of space and permissions to do that around the ground.
That was my next question. If you dare to dream and think about that, could you have Super League, Rugby League at Ealing?
Absolutely. We've already clarified that and cleared that with the RFL. It's just a question of, you know, putting in the stands where at the Stubby had temporary stands, if you recall, and places like that.
Yeah.
You can do it. It's a nice challenge to have. And I think because there is a genuinely open space, there's about five rugby pitches there. There is space around the ground to put in the stands without, you know, too many legal tie-ups in terms of planning permission.
How hard are the Super 8s going to be? You played in the lower end of the competition for the plate last year. You've obviously sort of improved as a whole looking at the league table for this year, but how difficult are these next few fixtures going to be?
Well, again, I would say, I was asked that question the other day, and you don't really know till you go. We've been to Lee, and we should have won at Lee. We got beat just finally at the beginning of the season. When Lee came down here, they bashed us up in the first half, and they're way ahead of us. Lee have loaded up with a massive amount of personnel, top-class people in the last 3 or 4 months, and so they look extremely strong. I can't really say what it would be like playing against a Super League team. Batley are strong on it. Just go through the championship. Batley are very strong. Featherstone are very strong. I was just looking there at Featherstone. Excuse me. Featherstone actually had 4 or 5 Leeds players playing last weekend. So a dual reg and long situation. We've not had that this year. So I think Featherstone benefited through that. Batley are a dead strong, honest team. So again, they've beaten us up there. Featherstone have been strong up there. Measuring ourselves against the Super League clubs, we've got Leeds down here and Hull KR down here and Huddersfield away. I can't tell till we measure ourselves. That is the measure. So I'm excited to see it, but of course they're spending almost £1 million more than most championship clubs on their squad.
How much are you looking forward to that London fixture? There's a number of ties, one in particular that I can think of in terms of the head coach. You've got them down in your patch.
I've already had a little
really
with Brian Big Mac. Yeah, just saying, well, it's like you beware, mate. Even when it looked like coming to them, I've been sort of jibing with him on the phone, but they've had their own ups and downs lead, of course, it would have come good now, but they've had a horrific injury season and they come through that now. It's probably our luck when we have their first full team out when we play them. <season.
laughs> I was going to say, I mean,
I'm hoping that's a Sky game.
It is. The notes that I'm looking at here, 20th of August, Broncos Leeds, 3 o'clock Sky, it says.
Yeah, they're being issued just about this morning, the actual fixtures.
Yeah, just come. I got this email, sent 13, 14 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Leeds down, that's our TV game. So that should be interesting.
And I mean, we've said it before as well, over the years, it does seem like sometimes the London club, and we can apply this to Scholars as well, up their game when it comes to being on TV. So, I mean, that should be a cracking fixture amongst... I mean, you know, they should all be great, but looking at that one in particular, it should be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, if you're a Championship player, your ambition is to play Super League. So I'm sure they're looking to measure themselves against Super League players, and they'll be up for that. You know, the formula how to win it, you have to beat Super League, a Super League club or two, not alone the Championships, to get back in the Super League.
And, I mean, you talk about, you know, you have to beat those Super League clubs. It's difficult in itself. You mentioned that the spending gulf as well between Championship and Super League. Is it theoretically possible for a club like yours, like Lee, to really go up against these sides in the Super 8s and win and be in Super League? I mean, it's so, so tough, isn't it?
I think that Lee have spent Super League money because they've had a relaxation now, as you know, you sit through the RFL, that, you know, basically if they want to spend it, I think that's going to be the rule going ahead. The Championships, if they want to spend it, can spend it. Excuse me. But I think most of the clubs, part-time, will never do that. At the Featherstones and the Battleys, etc. It's a massive task to carry on. If you got into Super League, it'd be extremely difficult, you know, if you didn't pay more or less the Super League salary max.
And that's money that you've paid previously with the club being in Super League. Is it something you'd be prepared to pay again? Are you looking to do that? Because that would seemingly be the way that it would need to work. You need to have a solid Championship season, then you need to splash out, don't you, to try and get in there and stay in there.
You have to do it. If you want to be successful in the Super League, you have to play the salary, virtual of the salary cap, the match. Yes, you have to do that, yeah. Or you won't win.
Would you do that again?
Yes, you'd have to do it. If we were in Super League, yes, I would.
And I guess it's been a tough few years as well. I'm gutted that I've missed out on this year in particular. But for me, looking from the outside, as I have done this year, not really been on the inside of things going on, the progression of the club, it seems to be going solidly in the right direction.
Yeah, we've got a massive... we've got a big team of Super League structure in terms of fitness and conditioning. Extremely good guys like Mike Eccles there, you know, Hendo and his assistants, and we're geared to Super League with the structure we've got now. We've probably not got the administration and the marketing side, because you probably can't justify all that in the Championship as such, but we are in the fundamental areas, we are geared for Super League.
And so with that in mind, you hope over these next 7 games you can push on. I don't know, what do you think, 1 or 2 big victories against, you know, in the important fixtures, you know, beat a Super League side? That's effectively what you're going to have to do, isn't it, in the next 7 games?
Yeah. Well, you finishing second means you get 4 home games. So it's quite special at the Trailfinders, the pitch, etc. It's a small facility, very parochial. So it's an advantage. The teams have to travel down here, which they're not used to, a lot of the clubs. They're not used to travelling that distance, so it's an overnight stay, which they don't normally do. We've just got to concentrate, I think, on winning our home games and taking 1 or 2 away games. And, you know, everybody's got a different formula as to what will make you... to finish third, you're automatically in there. If you're fourth, you've got the super game, haven't you? The million-dollar game, fourth and fifth.
And if what a game that would be as well. do you fancy that, or would you rather it be in the top three?
Absolutely be in the top three, yeah. You know, the odds on the Super League, you know, the million-dollar game, most times the Super League club may win. It'd be lovely to be in the... It's a big ask to be in the finish third, but that'd be fantastic.
Well, fingers crossed, David. I'll make this pledge now. I'm going to get to one of those games, absolutely, and I'll see you there. And I have my fingers firmly crossed that that everything goes well. Thank you very much for talking to me again.
OK, Ian, good to hear from you, and God bless you in Southampton. Cheers.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.